I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Coming up, we're going to talk with jazz vocalist Kurt Elling about his St. Louis appearance and his latest album and its nod to the New York music scene. 6 years ago, the annual Africa World Documentary Film Festival debuted in St. Louis. The festival is back, beginning today at the Missouri History Museum. After showing in St. Louis, the films will travel to 9 other venues across 3 continents. St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams spoke with the director of the festival, Nee Coker, who also serves as the E. Desmond Lee Professor in African and African-American Studies at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. She first asked him why the film festival began in St. Louis.
It's easy because I live here in St. Louis. And the opportunity to create the documentary film festival actually came out of the University of Missouri-St. Louis, the Center for International Studies. There's an endowment there that the late E. Desmond Lee had put in place for global and local activities such as this. And so the opportunity was rife, and why not St. Louis? And so this is the starting point of the festival. But like you know, the festival travels around the world. The festival also shows in Bermuda, Barbados, Jamaica, South Africa. This year, we're in South Africa this year. We're always at home in Cameroon as well. And so the festival, you know, kind of travels, and the works of documentary filmmakers that relate to the Africa world essentially show at all these locations.
Did you expect for it to grow so much? But did it originally just start at UMSL and it kind of progressed from there?
Precisely. It just started at UMSL, and we wanted it to be successful. We're glad it's successful. It started at UMSL, and I think our first year was actually at the St. Louis Art Museum.
Okay.
And at the university itself, of course. And from that point on, the submission, we were inundated with a lot of submissions from all over the place. And submissions were coming from Europe, submissions were coming from Australia, submissions were coming from Asia, submissions were coming from the continent of Africa, the Caribbean. And it just allowed us to understand that there are a bunch of fine documentary filmmakers out there in the world that are doing a lot of work that's related to the Africa world. And the Africa world is not just the continent of Africa. We were shocked to receive documentaries from India that were actually chronicling the lives of African people in India. And these African people have been there in India for centuries, and they trace their origins back to Africa.
Wow.
And they look very African. They're called the Siddhis, S-I-D-I-S. And they're in an area in India known as Hyderabad. And so this was educational. You have documentaries from places like Papua New Guinea, the Fiji Islands, that talk about the lives of African people. But you know, what it started to do was to open up the world to people here in St. Louis, you know, of African descent, to understand that whatever it is we're going through as people of African descent in the USA, in Europe, there are people around the world, even in South America, in Peru, in Colombia. We've received documentaries from these parts of the world that show the history, the heritage, the beauty, the aesthetics, the cosmology of our African people in these parts of the world that we wouldn't even think about.
Now, there are nearly 50 films that are going to be in the festival this year.
Precisely.
What is it that you're looking for when someone decides to submit a film to you? And it's not just films in Africa. There are films from, as you said, all over the world.
Sure, sure, sure.
So what are you looking for when you're getting these submissions?
We're looking for what documents, discusses, analyzes, chronicles the struggles, the history, the contributions of people of African descent and how people of African descent have continued to contribute to humanity as a whole. So we don't, for example, look at one theme and say our theme for this year is X or Z, you know. We say, well, if you've done a documentary that talks about the struggles of people of African descent, and I'll give you an example. This year we have documentary called Gay and Muslim, and it comes out of Morocco. And essentially, it talks about what it is to be gay and Muslim in an African country. And a lot of people don't when we talk about gay or lesbian or, you know, LGBT, people don't look at that in how it affects or how people who live in Muslim countries deal with that.
Wow. How did, you know, what impressed you most about it?
The bravery of the people who did the documentary, because they, a lot of them said, you know, for us to come out and do this, it's a death sentence in our communities. But we have to speak up. We have to talk about the progress we've made. We have to talk about our lifestyles. We have to talk about our own struggles. And in some African societies generally, I can't explain why, generally you have a strong sense of homophobia. And so in a place like Morocco, to take a camera and go about looking for people who want to come out of the darkness or out of the closet and talk about their lifestyles on camera, I think is very brave for now. And so hopefully we would be able to overcome that, or people in Morocco of African descent who are dealing with this would be able to overcome it. And so I think that's one of the, you know, we also have one from Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Takeo, which essentially talks about a little boy who has got Down syndrome. He's Korean.
Oh, wow.
But the only way he could communicate is with African drums. Seriously, that's the only...
How amazing.
That's where he comes out of the Down syndrome, and he actually communicates. And he's gone to Africa. In this documentary, follows him to Africa. And he teaches African drumming styles. He performs publicly African drums.
So you're teaching lessons about the African diaspora and about Africa through the international eyes of everyone.
Everyone.
And speaking of that, you yourself are from Nigeria.
Lagos.
Tell me about growing up there. What was the arts and culture scene like?
Energetic. Frenzied. It was a daily thing. I mean, it was a cultural celebration in the African continent. You know, people in West Africa, generally Africans, you know, tend to celebrate everything. You know, they break into song very quickly. And it's just, the way I would say that now, looking at it intellectually, is it's our way of wedding with the cosmos. Rhythm is our interconnectedness to nature. Rhythm is our interconnectedness to the universe. Rhythm and culture is our interconnectedness to who we are and to our universe. And so that's why you find that in the polyrhythms of our music. You find it in the polyrhythms of our language. You find it in the polyrhythms, and if you look at it in the African-American context, people call it Ebonics, the, you know, African way African-Americans use English. But there's a rhythm to that use of English, which you find, again, when you understand African languages, there's that rhythmic connectedness, and that's not lost. So if you will, if you just look at it from that context, you would find that the Africa in Africa is not isolated, and it doesn't end on the continent of Africa. We have brought our Africanity with us, and you see that in Cuba, in Trinidad, here in St. Louis.
Do you go back home often?
Actually, every 2 or 3 years, I have the privilege to be able to take those trips.
Do you find yourself comparing the two scenes, the St. Louis American culture scene to the one in Africa?
There was a point where I was doing the comparisons, but it gets to a point where intellectually you the only way you know it is if you open your ears and listen to people talking. But for the most part, when you close your eyes, it's the same people. It's the same people.
That is very insightful. You know, a lot of people get tied up in just in what they see. But at the same time, these are films.
These are films.
So.
But the beauty of documentary films, though, is that they're not fictional material.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, some people have taken their cameras and followed these characters and people for 3-4 years. And so they're actually real-life scenarios, you know, that way, that are actually being captured and stories of, you know, struggles being told. There was one, actually, we were just talking before we walked in here about Alabama. When I lived in Birmingham, there were a few things I used to see where, you know, when you travel down to Mobile, some people in their backyards would bury axes. They would bury an axe in their backyards, and they really couldn't explain why they buried the axe in their backyards. But they said, well, it was the way their grandparents or parents taught them. But then they would always make sure the axe is there whenever there was a, you know, thunderstorm or rain, and, you know. And essentially, the axe in the African mythology is the symbol of the god of lightning and thunder. So whoever has the axe, it protects you from lightning strikes. It's your lightning conductor. So essentially, there's a transference there, and I was so happy to see that in Alabama. But then I found it in a documentary about 4 years ago. Mr. Dial has something to say about an Alabama artist that was at the festival.
When people attend the festival, yeah. What do you want them to get out of what they're seeing?
I want them to get out humanity. I think that's very critical. I want them to get out. You see, for centuries, the African humanity has been denigrated. For centuries. I mean, we know this. We know that for centuries, because of colonization, because of enslavement, the understanding of what it was to be African, even up till this day, if you go to a lot of kids in public schools, they don't want to identify with African or Africanity, and it's seen as something negative to call a child an African, you know. And so, again, this is as a consequence of media. The media has kind of battered the African image to this point, you know. And so when you walk out of the documentary film festivals or of a documentary film presentation, I think it doesn't do any repair, but I think it's an affirmation of not just the African humanity, but the connections that we all share as human beings, that, you know, what you've just seen on screen is a universal human story, you know, and that there's nothing so unique about Africans that makes them lesser people. And so that African experience is the human experience.
Are there any other films you'd like to mention?
Oh, most certainly. Mama Africa, which opens on Saturdays, on the life of Miriam Makeba, the musician from South Africa who was exiled here in the United States and who actually came in the 1950s and 60s through Harry Belafonte and exposed the USA to what was happening in apartheid South Africa. Because up until that point, apartheid was not a subject or issue that people in the U.S. were very aware of, probably because in the USA, people were already dealing with the civil rights issues and civil rights movement. And, you know, that wasn't very popular until the 80s. Apartheid become a hot topic issue in the USA.
Will there be any discussions or?
Oh, yes, most certainly. We're expecting Miriam Makeba's grandson. We're expecting some faculty members from St. Louis University. And, you know, there'll be people from around the city of St. Louis who'll be there as well to, you know, make their own contributions in a discussion panel.
That's UMSL Professor Nee Coker talking with St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams. Coker is the director of the Africa World Documentary Film Festival, which runs through Sunday at the Missouri History Museum. Screenings are free and open to the public. For more information and to view the festival schedule, visit the Cityscape page at stlpublicradio.org. Coming up next, jazz vocalist Kurt Elling. This is St. Louis Public Radio.